Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
Wow, now that is the sound of rock cracking. Can anybody say rock cracking in Washington, D.C. is the shutdown concerning you? Well, you've got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, and I'm your host, Ed Holliday. You're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net, and I'm glad we got new listeners with the shutdown. Nobody will cover it better and give you the insight and things you won't hear anywhere else than right here on Rock Splitting Politics. Let me tell you what we got in store for this week. This week's show is going to talk about the shutdown. Let me tell you, we got author Edmund Wright. He's also a columnist for Breitbart and American Thinker. And we're going to have him on to talk about. He's covered the Civil War within the Republican Party. So don't go away. He'll be on the second half of the show here. Now, let me tell you what else is on tap. First off, I told you, I'm going to Washington, D.C., and I'll be there part of the week when you're listening to this show. And I'll be investigating what's going on. Got some insights that I want to check out. And I'll tell you a little bit about that trip so you'll know what to expect when I get back. Also, got some good news about the IRS scandal and what's going on there. There's a story I broke over back in February 2012. It took a while for everybody to catch up with it. But Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, we've been following this long before everything broke out in the national news. Because over a year and a half ago, I told you what went on, a criminal act in the IRS with the National Organization for Marriage. Some good news on that front. I'll tell you about that in a couple minutes. Also, I got to tell you what's going on with the shutdown. There's a little history of shutdowns that you're not hearing on the mainstream media. I'm going to talk to you about that. So, wow, we got a lot to talk about. And before we get to all that, let me just tell you some exciting news about our veterans. If you didn't see what went on last week with our veterans who were barricaded out of World War II Memorial, those in their late 80s and early 90s, well, great news happened there. First, with all this going on, let me play you a little music to get you set and ready for this week's show. We have got to get you prepared. So let's go back and let's hear a little bit from Creedence Clearwater Revival.
I went down Virginia seeking shelter.
Now, that was Creedence Clearwater Revival singing about who'll stop the rain and talking about five-year plans and new deals wrapped in golden chain. Does that not sound a little bit about like Obamacare? Five-year plans and new deals wrapped in golden chain. Wow, that just sums it up right there. Something that's nirvana for the far-left communists. I think they love Obamacare, and it gives you something for the New Deal. Roosevelt New Deal folks that say, hey, let's get something new like health care for everybody as long as we put every bit of government in everybody's business, everybody's bedroom, everybody's pockets, everybody's school, everybody's everything. And that's how communists take over. Huh. Somebody say, Ed, you're talking about communism. Yes, I am. I'm talking about government in control of everything. Where is freedom when you have central control? Five-year plan. It's central control. So, very appropriate, Creedence Clearwater Revival. Get us right into today's show. And what I'm talking about, was, did you see last week with the shutdown, and there's some veterans from my home state of Mississippi and Iowa, and hey, they were there on some honor flights that helps take World War II veterans to see the World War II Memorial. That was put together with private money now. It's on federal property. But hey, it was paid for by some of these very veterans who may have never seen it, coming up for the first time to Washington, D.C. in their late 80s, early 90s. And guess what? The administration sent word to barricade the World War II Veterans Memorial. To barricade it. There's never barricades around it. Never barricades around it. And they sent in people and park workers to barricade the World War II Memorial. And they told the veterans that they could get close, but they couldn't go in. And I know my senators and others sent word to the White House that these veterans were coming and they needed the access to the World War II Memorial, the monument to their service when they served, and some of their friends died, and they were there to bring wreaths to lay on those states' names to remember their friends and their fellow soldiers who didn't make it home all those years ago. And this White House put up a barricade, sent word to put up a barricade. But guess what? Some of these old soldiers still had a little fire in them. And I know one from my hometown. His name was Bill Webb. And guess what? Well, some congressman removed a barricade and they flooded in. They charged the memorial and they got to see it. They laid a wreath on there to remember those who did not come back alive. What a great time for these World War II veterans. Ashamed that this government, that this administration would make them have to go through a barricade for the monument that the very freedom we have today because of their service. So I just have to take my hat off to our local hero, Bill Webb, and so many others, Mississippi, Iowa, others. The congressman helped remove the barricade, Congressman Palazzo from Mississippi, Congressman Steve King from Iowa. So, wow, I just have to tell you, that was a good thing in all the stuff that was happening with the shutdown. Five-year plans and new deals. Has anybody thought about that? Obamacare going right along with what the leftists wanted in the Soviet Union and never did get that nirvana, did they? They think of all this bureaucracy, it's just going to happen to be nirvana. Everybody get free health care. Yeah. Yeah. You see it happening now. Everybody trying to sign up and can't even get through the websites. And you talk about once they get everything through, who is going to guard all that information? The National Security Agency already has it all. Why did they have to put it in? Well, let's go on with the show. Had to tell you some good news about the IRS, and let me just tell you what's going on that front. And there's actually two pieces of good news about the IRS scandal, so let me just go ahead and tell you what we know first. Last week, we had Chairman Issa, Congressman Issa of the House Oversight Committee. He's gotten together, and they have to get information and legal authority they need, including confidentiality waivers, to compel the IRS and the Treasury Department to cooperate with the committee's investigation. And last week, Chairman Issa said these waivers allow the committee to get information the IRS is currently withholding. This information will give us a better sense of why these groups faced delays, what questions they were asked, and what sort of communications were occurring within the IRS in regards to the inappropriate delays and apparently politically driven leak. That politically driven leak from the National Organization of Marriage, I broke on this Rock Splitting Politics program back in February of 2012, and yet nobody would talk about it before the election. You couldn't get any movement in Congress, even though some congressmen looked into it. The IRS was shut up, and we know why now. They did abuse the Tea Party. They were abusing conservatives, and they may continue to be abusing conservatives, because just look what happened with Ben Carson, the African-American surgeon who politically spoke at a religious function, and President Obama's there and spoke in a conservative way that made him a hero to a lot of conservatives. But at the same time, he said, guess what? After he made that speech, he got audited by who? The IRS. So are we still targets, conservatives? But I better believe you are until we find out some of these things going on. I said there's two good news about the IRS scandal. The other thing is that the National Organization of Marriage, where this information been leaked that I reported right here on Rock Splitting Politics, well, they're going to file suit. And thank goodness for them, because they're going to file suit against the IRS so they can get the information. Their great legal counsel, Dr. Eastman, who was there, if you saw him during the summer House investigation in the IRS, he did a wonderful job explaining how a criminal act was done somewhere in the IRS, and they have not been able to get anywhere. So they're going to sue the IRS to get the information, and I hope they'll have great success, because that place needs to be investigated, opened up, turned upside down, and it needs just to be hung out to dry, and let's get rid of the IRS. It'll take a while, but that's what we need to do. Obamacare, they want it to grow because they know they can hide and kick and steal and rip off conservatives, and that'll continue to happen. Did I just say all that? Well, that's what's happened to the Tea Party. That's what happened to the National Organization for Marriage. That's what's been happening. Ben Carson, other conservatives, the IRS. This is what I'd like to know. I wish Congress would investigate and line up how many Republicans are audited, how many Democrats are audited. Let's just see. Let's see what's happened over the last 5 years since this administration compared to what happened 5 years before. How many people are getting audited who are Democrats? How many people are getting audited who are Republicans? We need to know. Now, the show moves on. I told you, there's so much to go on, and we will continue next week. We've got some great things that you need to know about the shutdown that you won't hear anywhere else. But one thing I do want to tell you before we get to Edmund Wright, and we got a great interview he's gonna share some things about the shutdown that you may agree with, you may not agree with, but hang on, because he's coming up in just about 3 or 4 minutes. But first, let me tell you about some history, some facts about a government shutdown. Before I do, are you getting tired? Are you getting bored of all this information about a government shutdown? Well, let me let you get a little spirited Creedence Clearwater Revival right here, and then I'm going to tell you some facts and figures you've never heard about the government shutdowns in the history of them if you've listened to the mainstream media. Here we go. Now, I wish I was in a traveling band. Instead, I'm having to listen to this come a Saturday night, come a fighting again. That's what's happening to the Democrats and Republicans. That's when we got a shutdown. And it would be nice if maybe Speaker of the House Boehner and Harry Reid could get together and be a part of a traveling band, be like Creedence Clearwater Revival. You think they could get President Obama to sing with them? Well, they're not getting together for anything, much less a traveling band. But I do have to tell you this, they are fighting just like a Saturday night. And what good is it? Well, has it happened before? Well, let me direct you to Logic, Liberal Logic 101, and right there we'll find out there are some things, some history that you are not hearing about on the mainstream media. One of them is liberals conveniently forget when Reagan was president, the Democrats shut down the government no less than 8 times. You know, of course, it was Reagan's fault then. But whose fault is it now? Speaker of the House Boehner. Why? Is the press prejudice? Listen, 15 of the last 17 shutdowns over the past 40 years, Democrats controlled the House. 15 of the last 17. And during 8 of the shutdowns, they controlled both houses of Congress. So What our liberal friends say, to say, it's all about Obamacare. It's Ted Cruz. He's in control. He's the Speaker of the House instead of Boehner. It's not about Obamacare, is it? Well, listen, this is what Charles C. W. Cook at the National Review answered to this very question. He says, Obamacare is an allegedly deficit-reducing measure that was passed via the budget reconciliation process. You remember, they couldn't just pass it straight on. They had to get it through by a budget reconciliation process so they wouldn't have to go through a threat of a filibuster, which it would have been filibustered. And the only reason it was a budget reconciliation process was because it was, quote, deficit reducing. Now, those were my words, going back to explaining what Charles Cook was saying. Now, here's his words again. He said, it was rewritten by the Supreme Court as a tax and will increase the federal budget by up to 10%. We know it's more than that. I think it's going to be a lot more than 10%. But Cook went on to say the initial House plan here, remember, was not to repeal but to defund the law. He was talking about in the past, during the ninth shutdown, in the past, it said the Democratic House, they defunded a defense program that included both medium-range and intercontinental missiles. And why was it appropriate for Congress to shut down the government over the funding of that? And also the government shut down over the funding of abortion 5 different times. So we can see all this bunk that the mainstream media is talking about defunding Obamacare. How can they seriously consider that? Whether they got it out of Democrats' playbook, evidently. Mainstream media, we need to do a little research there. Well, so what are we talking about? Well, they ain't talking about defunding now, but you need to understand the liberals always want to win. They never want to lose, and it's always the other people's fault. They whine and complain, and it always points the fingers. When they are in the leadership, what does a real leader do? People follow him. I don't see anybody following Barack Obama anywhere in the world. So let's get back to what I was telling you about today's show. The shutdown, as you can see, the history of it is different from what you may be hearing in other places. And this news media is going to try to push it like the whole world's going to fall apart. Will it? Are people scared? Yes, there are people scared. Are people not getting paychecks? Yes, that's happening. Why won't Barack Obama delay Obamacare? His whole program, people trying to get onto websites, it's looking like a disaster more and more every day. So won't the Republicans just let it through? Well, they may. But I want to remind you, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on webtalkradio.net. I told you I was going to be going to D.C. I'll be in D.C. part of this week when you're listening to the show to see firsthand what's going on. I got some meeting with some United States senators, and hopefully we'll be meeting with possibly Rand Paul with a group of African-American pastors that are meeting there, some conservatives, some are not so conservative, but they come in together and come in to listen to a speech by Rand Paul, and hopefully I'll get to be able to be in there and hear and be able to speak some to Senator Rand Paul and see what's going on with his reach out to the African-American community in this possible presidential run. So again, you're hearing things here nobody else is going to hear. How many people are talking to about the conservative African-American and how much they are going to be important in the next election? Well, we'll see. And that's why you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And that's why coming up is Edmund Wright. Before he does, let me remind you, you're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. And you can go to my front homepage right there. Click on, and you can go where you can order the book, Rock Splitting Politics. And some more conservative books. I got Walk With Me about the Tea Party. Those are books you need to order so that you can help keep this program on the air and you give them to your liberal friends. We're going to educate some of these people to understand America's freedom depends on us, you and me, working together, and we will get freedom back in style in America. Obamacare, it will never work, never was meant to work. It's meant to go right into a single-payer system, and that's we're starting to see that even now with the bureaucracy. Now, what about the government shutdown? We're going to talk to Edmund Wright. We got him on the phone right now. Edmund, we got you on the show today. This is Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, and we're glad to have you on. And what we're talking about is we've had a government shutdown, first time in 17 years. So what gives? What's going on now?
Doc, first of all, thanks for having me, but I'm looking out the window now. The sun is shining. The sky is blue. There are no pieces of the sky that have fallen onto my yard. So, I'm not as obsessed with this government shutdown as some people are, apparently.
Well, some people are really obsessed, and it seems like the news, all the different news organizations are making stories about it, and it sounds like the Republicans are just real haters. They just hate America, it sounds like.
Well, I think that, and maybe it's wishful thinking, but we'll see. I think the Democrats and the media, who I will include as part of the Democrat Party, are misreading the tea leaves and overplaying their hand here. I think after a bunch of government shutdowns, people understand that very little of the government shuts down, and those that are shut down will probably get their back pay. And so this is really like the sequester. It's really a non-issue, and it's being used with all this stuff like canceling the Navy Air Force football game, which, by the way, was a sellout and going to create a profit. And by going to extra expense to put up barricades to keep people from using federal lands that they do not require a federal government bureaucrat to enjoy, I think it just might backfire. People are going to understand, you know what? There's a lot of government that we should, permanently shut down, and especially when the government spends money, more money to shut itself down than it would just to keep running. I mean, it's just absurd.
Well, Edmund, you made some good points, and one of the things that it seems to be like, we started with the sequester, but it seems like this administration, and especially our president, wants people to feel some pain. He really wants people to hurt. And he wants to blame it on Republicans, and at the same time, he's as guilty as they are.
In this shutdown, he's far more guilty, but
Stop right there, Edmund. You said he's far more guilty. Now, explain to my listeners how President Obama is more guilty than the Republicans.
Well, and I'll put Harry Reid in there, too, because two-thirds of the government are run by the Democrats. The one-third of the government that's run by the Republicans, the House, has laid three or four or five pieces of legislation on the desk of Harry Reid, which then we go to Barack Obama, that could fund the government. And they've been pretty creative about it. And they've actually, compromised a little bit on their ultimate goal, which is to permanently defund Obamacare. Right. But there has been, no good faith counterproposals coming from the Democrats. So, on the one hand, I don't think a government shutdown is that bad. But if there is blame to be assigned, it needs to go to the party that controls two-thirds of the government, not the party that controls one-third of the government.
Well, I know, and you're saying that you don't think it's that bad, and they bring out stories. I think in today's story, they talked about 200 children needing to go have cancer treatments at the National Institutes for Health, and they were turned away. And same time, the Republicans put a bill up there before Harry Reid and the president is saying, we'll fund this, but there's no need for people to hurt. But they refuse to even fund that. So who's to blame?
Look at that. Okay, 200. They said they're turning away 200 kids for cancer treatment. I don't know if that's true or not. But if they are, I mean, that's evil. They are canceling a football game, which is already funded and going to turn a profit. They are also going out of their way to put barricades up to keep veterans from seeing a memorial that does not require a tour guide.
Yeah.
In other words, just look at how they are acting, look at how petty they are being, and look at how counterintuitive they are with the selected things they are canceling, and you can find out who's really at fault and who's really playing a game here.
Well, now, last week on our show, we talked about that even if the government shut down, which it has, or slim down, some people call it a slim down instead of shut down, but even if it has, the thing we put out is that the Republicans will get the blame for it, and it's going to hurt them in 2014 because all the press is going to be on the side of Obama because they're cheerleaders for the Democratic Party. Now, how can Republicans counteract that? Because it makes it look like the Republicans are trying to kill the economy. And that's exactly what President Obama wants to get the message out. It's all the Republicans' fault.
Well, okay, and all of this, Doc, is based on the 1995 shutdown. I mean, that's the history everybody goes back to. Well, look what happened in 95. Okay, let's look what happened in 95. First of all, let's look what happened in 96, after the 95 shutdown, less than a year after the 95 shutdown, with just an awful presidential ticket of Bob Dole and Jack Kemp, and they were terrible. I mean, they were worse than McCain, perhaps, and certainly worse than Romney. And even with that awful presidential ticket, the Republicans did pretty well in the congressional elections of 96. So the idea that 95 was a disaster is just absurd to begin with, Doc. But let's look even deeper. You said the media will blame the Republicans. Well, there's no doubt about it. But guess what has changed in the media since 1995?
Well, what's
we
that?
Now have the conservative internet. Rush and Mark Levin and all those shows are much bigger. We have shows like yours by the hundreds. Things are totally different. People don't rely on three newspapers, three networks, one cable to get their news anymore. Things are totally different. And, oh, by the way, actually, again, I think a government shutdown is not even considered. I mean, it's like crying wolf now. All of that, 95 is an irrelevant experiment or analogy. And yet you're right, John Boehner, Mitch McConnell, they live in fear of a repeat of 1995. I'm just saying it's ridiculous to do so.
Well, now, that brings us to the other point. What's happening in the Republican Party? They talk about the tale of the two kings, the representatives, one from Iowa, one from New York, and one representative king is holding on and not passing anything till they get a break from Obama, and the other representative king from New York, he said he won't ever forgive Ted Cruz for bringing this on the Republican Party.
I think Ted Cruz will survive not being forgiven by Peter King.
Okay.
I'll assure you, Doc, that the Steve King wing of the Republican Party is the future, and the Peter King wing is just an irrelevant little faction tucked up in the Northeast and a few on the West Coast, and that is not the future of the Republican Party. Their message is never, ever, ever how we've won elections on a national scale. Now, Peter King probably knows this, and he's just doing what he thinks he has to do so that he can win his seat with a bunch of blue state liberals, in a year.
Uh-huh.
I think he understands that the Steve King, Ted Cruz wing of the party is where the national party is going to go and should go. And if he doesn't understand it, I think he will soon.
Well, you know, and you say that's where you think the future Republican Party is, and that's where I think positioning for Republican presidential candidates, obviously they have to appeal to that wing of the party. But you got the whole entire press saying, well, you can't deal with these right-wing fascist Tea Party Taliban folks. So,
let's look at the press's history in understanding Republican failure and success. In 1980 and 84, the press assured us that Ronald Reagan was a fascist extremist and no way he could win. In 1994, they assured us that Newt Gingrich and his contract with America was the Gingrich that stole Christmas and he would never win. In 2010, they assured us, with the help of the Karl Rove Republican establishment, that the Tea Party was a failure and they could never win. When the press, along with some liberal Republicans, are saying we're messing up, that means we're over the target, and that's why we're catching flack.
Well, I know Ted Cruz is catching flack harder than anybody, and he's standing up. He's standing up strong, but some people are calling him the McCarthy. So, you know, everything the liberals can think of, they're calling Ted Cruz.
Right, but just like when you are catching that much flack, you're also getting equal parts love. And Ted Cruz has impacted dramatically this national debate. There's no doubt in my mind that the House of Representatives would not be holding as firm as they are and being as creative as they are without Ted Cruz's leadership from the Senate. You know, I heard an interesting idea the other day, Doc, that
What's
people
that?
Should ask that the House elect Ted Cruz as Speaker of the House. And it's interesting. The Speaker of the House does not have to be a sitting member of Congress. Ted Cruz could actually legitimately be Speaker of the House.
I want my listeners to understand what you just said. The Speaker of the House does not have to be a member of the House. Is that what you just told
correct.
Us? Okay. So
that is correct. So, and I'm not saying that's going to happen. It's probably not. My point being, I think that Boehner is running scared for his office, and I think that's why he's he's kind of shown a little backbone lately. And, you know, quite frankly, if John Boehner's doing the right thing, I mean, I'm over trying to believe in him or trust in him, and I don't need that from my representatives. I just need them to do the right thing. And if it's fear or intimidation from our own side that gets them to do the right thing, well, actually, that's part of how our government is supposed to work. So Ted Cruz and the response to Ted Cruz has definitely rattled some cages in the House in a good way. And, again, I'm not asking that we believe these people or trust them or take for granted they're going to continue to stand up. But the last 48 hours have been better than I would have predicted 2 weeks ago.
Well, I'd agree with you, Edmund. I was at the point thinking, you know, they're going to show a little resolve, and they'll back down on Monday, and then September 30th, and I thought, well, they'll back down, you know, let it go a day and back down. But they're holding their guns, and we don't know where this is going to go. We were taping this show a few days before next week, but tell me what do you see in a crystal ball? I mean, does this thing last a long time, or is it shut down early, or do you have a clue?
I think it's going to run into the debt ceiling situation on October 17th, probably.
Now, you just set me up right there. That got my next question. If it runs into that, I mean, does that make it a double whammy when you say then you put the full faith and credit of the United States on the line? Now, where would that take us? Tumbling down the world economy? Or I'm sure that's what people will say. The whole world economy will crash if we don't increase the debt limit. So, well, speak to that, Edmund.
Well, yeah, the debt, first of all, there is no reason to default on that, whether or not they get, you know, all these issues put away by then. I think it's going to be between now, and of course we're taping this, you know, on the second versus the third. I can't, you know, things are moving so fast. There's going to be some sort of evolution of the media coverage and the dynamic of blame that's going to play out over the next week or so that's going to dictate a lot of how this is going. I think every day that the government is shut down and the world doesn't end, people are going to put less and less stock in what the liberal media and the Obama administration is saying about the horror stories. I think every day they see the veterans turned away from the memorial and college football games canceled, I think they're going to start to see through it. I think a longer shutdown could definitely play into the position of truth, and the Republicans have truth in this particular issue.
Now, that's Edmund Wright's take on everything, and a couple of nuggets there is he doesn't feel like the government shutdown and tied in with the debt limit is something that's going to crash the world economy. In fact, this is what he is making a stand, and many conservatives are making a stand saying the debt limit, it doesn't matter, it's not going to cause a default. The only thing that causes a default on America's full faith and credit is the fact that we don't pay our interest. We have more than enough money to pay the interest, and so that explains about the default. There's no reason to default unless you got an idiot for president who pays the bills. So, so take that and put it in your pipe and smoke it. And next week we're going to continue on and talking about what is if the shutdown's still going on and what happens about the default and the debt limit. So we're going to talk more about that. Also, I want to tell you about next week. We do have some insight and some things that nobody else is talking about that we're going to bring out about the shutdown. I told you, I'll be there on the ground in D.C., and I'll be checking things out. I know at late-breaking news as we're recording this is there was a shooting. A lady tried to drive through and hit a barricade by the White House and was stopped two blocks short of the Capitol where the police shot and killed her. And so just still that's breaking news, but it's unsettling to know that there's things going on. But we see we had enough security in place, evidently, and she was stopped with gunfire. So don't know all the pieces and parts of that story, but we'll follow up that if we need to. And just make sure you listen to next week's show, because I got some insight that nobody else is talking about, and I'm going to dig in a little bit more. I'll have some things on next week's show to tell you what's going on and what I believe President Barack Obama is maneuvering to do. Now, if we get it done or not, we'll have to wait and see. But I'm going to talk about that next week's show. Don't go away. Hang on to your hats, because I'll be in D.C. this week getting the information. And the next couple of weeks, I'll be sharing with you some things, insights you won't get anywhere else unless you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. There is no Tombstone of the Week award this week because I don't have enough awards to give to everybody on both sides of the aisle of Congress that needs the Tombstone of the Week award for things said that should be buried 6 feet beneath the ground underneath the tombstone. But till next week, I want to say God bless you, God bless America, and pray for our country, pray for our leaders, and we will see freedom expand and grow and come together in an unbelievable way for this country. I don't have fear. I have faith in the American citizens because people like you. Thank you for listening. And we'll be talking next week.
Thanks for joining us today. And remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.